Isabel Angelfield was odd. Isabel Angelfield was born during a rainstorm. It is impossible to know whether or not these facts are connected, but when, 2.5 decades later, Isabel left home for the second time, people in the village looked back and remembered the endlessness of the rain on the day of her birth. Some remembered as if it was yesterday that the doctor was late, delayed by the floods caused by the river having burst its banks. Others recalled, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the cord had been wrapped around the baby's neck, almost strangling her before she could be born. Yes, it was a difficult birth, all right, for on the stroke of 6, just as the baby was born and the doctor rang the bell, hadn't the mother passed away? Out of this world and into the next. So, if the weather had been fine, and the doctor had been earlier, and if the cord had not deprived the child of oxygen, and if the mother had not died, and if, and if, and if. Such thinking is pointless. Isabel was as Isabel was, and that is all there is to say about the matter. The infant, a white scrap of fury, was motherless. And at the beginning, to all intents and purposes, she looked like being fatherless too, for her father, George Angelfield, fell into a decline. He locked himself in the library and refused point-blank to come out. This might seem excessive. 10 years of marriage is usually enough to cure marital affection, but Angelfield was an odd fellow, and there it was. He had loved his wife, his ill-tempered, lazy, selfish and pretty Mathilde. Bereaved, driven half mad with grief, George Angelfield sat all day in the library, eating nothing, seeing no one. And he spent his nights there too, on the daybed, not sleeping, but staring red-eyed at the moon. This went on for months. His pale cheeks became paler, he grew thin. He stopped speaking. In the end, the missus got fed up with it all. She picked up baby Isabel from the crib in the nursery and took her downstairs. She strode past the butler, ignoring his protestations, and went into the library without knocking. Up to the desk she marched, and she plumped the baby down in George Angelfield's arms without a word. Then she turned her back and walked out, slamming the door behind her. The butler made to go in, thinking to retrieve the infant, but the missus raised her finger and hissed, "Don't you dare!" He was so startled that he obeyed. It was a long afternoon, and at the end of it, one of the under-housemaids ran to the nursery. "He's come out! The master's come out!" At her normal pace and in her normal manner, the missus came downstairs to hear what had happened. The servants had stood about in the hall for hours, listening at the door and peeking through the keyhole. At first, their master just sat there, looking at the baby with a dull and perplexed expression on his face. The baby wriggled and gurgled. When George Angelfield was heard cooing and chuckling in response, the servants exchanged looks of astonishment. But they were more astonished later to hear lullabies. The baby slept, and there was silence. Her father, the servants reported, did not once take his eyes from his daughter's face. Then she awoke, hungry and set to crying. Her shrieks rose in intensity and pitch, until finally the door was flung open. There stood my grandfather with his baby in his arms. Seeing his servants standing idly about, he glared at them and his voice boomed out, "Is a baby left to starve in this house?"